Remember that show, The A-Team? Was it Murdoch? You say, I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah.
Murdoch, you say that? I always think of that phrase when things go right. But then when things go wrong, I always think about how I love it when a plan comes together. And it's really frustrating when a plan doesn't come together, right? Like you have things all lined out, it's going to be great. But sometimes things just fall apart, right? Our plans don't always go the way we want them to go. And as some of you know, many of you know, we've been in the process of moving, buying a house, selling a house, and the timeline has just been perfect. Absolutely perfect. We're like, we're going to sell one, or we're going to buy one and move stuff and then sell the other and new renovations, and all is going to be great until this week. We discover that there's some paperwork that is going to take a little bit longer. So our whole plan of having a place to put our stuff was going to be messed up. Our plan was upended. And so I needed Murdoch and the A-Team there to make sure that my plan would go out. But it didn't go the way we wanted it to. And it was frustrating. But in the end, it all worked out. We're actually sleeping right next door here. So we have no excuse to be late to church ever again. But we got to this point to where, man, we were so frustrated that all these details kind of finding out in place. And it just made me really think about what happens when we have these plans. And when it doesn't work out the way we want it to. What do we do when we have this thing all lined out really perfect and smooth, and as long as everything falls in place, it's going to be just great, and we're going to coast through it. What happens when we have those plans and then they don't happen? How do we react to those things? And so today, we're going to talk about what it means to trust God, and we're going to see what will happen to our lives when we actually do that very thing. When we actually trust Him, what will take place in our lives. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I apologize if the notes are not online because I was moving. And so I didn't get that done. But let me pray, and then we'll just dive right in. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you are in control even when our plans seem out of control. I thank you that your love for me does not depend on my ability to make things happen. And I just pray that today you would be overwhelmed with your love, and that we would be reassured over and over again that we can trust you, that we would be willing to put our trust and our faith in you, that we would experience new life because of it. So would you speak to us now and move in our midst here? We ask this in Jesus' name. The other day, when I woke up and I was just thinking about all the things going on, all the details we had to do, and I'm sure that this will happen frequently over the next several months as we continue this process, but I just kind of was thinking about all we had going on. I was a little bit overwhelming. And as I thought about what I should be preaching about, then Proverbs came to mind, because that always sounds like a good idea. When you're freaking out, you should go to Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is this book of wisdom. Thing is, it's not a book of formulas, right? So we talked before about how sometimes we pull Proverbs and think, you know, raise a child the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And we think that's a hard, fast rule, right? And we think, man, if I just do this, then that's going to be great. My kids are going to be great. They're going to do exactly what I want them to do. And those of you who have raised adult children, Sarah's laughing, because you know that that's not the way it goes, right? The book of Proverbs is not a book of hard and fast rules and formulas. It's a book of wisdom. And sometimes the advice we receive from Proverbs produces favorable outcomes for us, and sometimes it totally does not produce these favorable outcomes. Sometimes when we put it into practice, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. This really worked out for me. My life is better because I did this thing that Proverbs said to do. Other times, you go, I did everything Proverbs said to do, and I didn't get the result I wanted. What is going on? It's a book of wisdom. And if you look at Proverbs in the wisdom literature, there are several books of poetry in the Old Testament considered wisdom literature. And so we have this, it's a whole literary genre that is teaching us about wisdom. It comes from Solomon, believed to be the wisest man that ever lived. God gave him this gift of wisdom, and he had great insight. And so he gave us these little sayings in the Proverbs. But if you look at Proverbs in the wisdom literature as these rock-solid formulas, that if you do A and B, then we will produce C, then we're going to miss the power in them. Because wisdom doesn't control circumstances. Wisdom does not control circumstances. If you think about the wisest person you know, are they in control of all their circumstances? Probably not, right? No, the wisest person you know is not the person who has their finger in everything and is making everything happen, right? Like, not the wizard behind the curtain. Wisdom does not control circumstances. What it does is it better equips us to handle the ever-changing circumstances of life. I would bet that the wisest person you know would tell you there's no way to control the circumstances of life, right? Because wise people have experienced life, and they have this thing about them that allows them to handle, they're better equipped to handle the unforeseen changes and things that are going to throw at you in all these circumstances in life. Wisdom has a specific source, however, according to Proverbs. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment." And so wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. I believe this means, there's all kinds of talk and all kinds of teachings on what it means to have a fear of the Lord. And I think that for our understanding today and to kind of get our heads around what that means, I think it means having an accurate view of who we are in relationship to who God is. Okay? It's an accurate view of who I am in relationship to who God is. The fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom means that I can't think too much of myself, right? I'm not the big dog in town. I'm not quite as important as I have seemed to have made myself believe that I am, right? If I can view myself accurately in relationship to who God really is, then I can actually begin to have some wisdom. Because until I get to that point, if I'm thinking I'm the biggest thing that there ever was, then I'm never going to be able to be wise. So the fear of the Lord, an accurate view of who I am in relationship to God, is the beginning of that. To be wise, we have to begin with knowing who God is and who we are in relationship with Him. And the result of that, the result of this kind of wisdom, is good judgment. We can navigate the difficulties of life with success when we begin with this solid understanding of who God is and who we are in light of that. You can have wisdom. You can navigate these difficult situations that way. And so once we have a foundation of wisdom, we can handle anything that comes our way, right? We can handle it. We can handle when our plans get upended. That's where it begins. So if we begin with understanding who we are in relationship with who God is, we can learn a valuable lesson. We learn that God can be trusted. God can be trusted. If He's in control of everything and He loves us deeply, which He's told us over and over again, all throughout the scriptures, He's confirmed through relationships that you possess with people, through ways that you have been saved from circumstances that maybe you have deserved, or the ways that He has provided open doors for you when you didn't deserve it, right? When we see those things, we know, we are confirmed that God loves us and He cares for us and He's involved in our lives. So if He's in control of everything, He loves us deeply and we can trust Him, even when things seem to fall apart. He is trustworthy, and so we can trust Him when things don't go our way. And in light of that foundation, we're given this wisdom. This is the thing that really kind of hit home for me as I was thinking about all the chaos of what we've got going on. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding." You've probably heard that 10,000 times in your life. If you've been around the church, you've seen on a poster, a t-shirt, a weird painting of somebody, you've probably seen it. You know what that says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. So this first half of that verse is an invitation to trust God with the core of your being. With every part of your life, you can trust Him. It's committing your ways to Him. It's being willing to believe that He knows better than you and that He's faithful to lead you. You can trust Him. You can trust that He is with you as you go through life. And Solomon explains, thankfully, Solomon being a wise guy, he gives us a little more information. He explains what it looks like to trust the Lord with all your heart. He says, "Do not depend on your own understanding." So if we see trusting in the Lord equates not leaning on your own understanding, then it's going back to that first foundation, knowing that I'm not a whole lot in light of how great God is. And if I lean on my understanding, I realize I'm going to miss a whole bunch. So I need to put my trust in Him. I need to lean on to Him because He knows so much more than me. He is so much greater than I. And so if we trust in Him, we're not going to depend on our own understanding. We can't just work from our own perspective. Because logic can't solve everything. I'm sorry, type A people. It
just can't.
Planning can't remove unforeseen circumstances. Guys, you will not believe the amount of spreadsheets I have that I've created for this move and this transition and all these things I've planned. You know, you're like, David, you know how to make spreadsheets? I do, believe it or not. I just started with this whole thing. And it doesn't work, so don't do it. But no matter how much planning you do, it's not going to remove the unforeseen circumstances. It can't fight them off and keep them from happening. So our best option is to put our trust in the Lord and not lean on our own understanding. Because there's going to come a thing that there's going to be a curveball that you're thrown. There's going to be a wrench in the plan that all of a sudden you're not going to know what to do with. And if you're leaning on your own understandings, then you're going to be in big trouble. But if we can trust in the Lord, we have wisdom and knowing that He's greater than me, so I can trust in Him, then I'm going to be able to make it through whatever circumstances come my way. There's so much that we don't know, right? You don't have to admit it in public if you don't want to, but there's so much in life that we just don't know. And so we just need to trust the Lord. We don't know what our health is going to be like tomorrow. We don't know what situations are going to come our way today. How many people do you know that have received heartbreaking news and in an instant their life has totally changed? Yeah? Probably been you, right? You've had that experience. People you know have had that experience. We don't know what's coming our way, so we can just trust in the Lord. That's the only certainty there is in life. So if we have a foundation of knowing who we are in relationship to who God is, and we trust in Him even when things seem out of control, then we're ready to carry out the next part of this wisdom that Solomon gives us. He says, seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Seek His will in all you do. That means to view everything through the question of what would honor God most in this situation. I believe that's what it means to seek His will in everything you do. It's a filter or a lens that you view everything through. It's saying, okay, God, with this situation I'm facing, what would be the most honoring thing I could do for you? How can I respond to this situation in a way that is most honoring and pleasing to the Lord? And maybe it's a decision or maybe it's a reaction to circumstances that are out of control. Maybe instead of having your plans upended and throwing a fit about it, guilty. Instead of doing that, we can go, you know what? It's going to be okay, right? It's going to be fine. I trust in God, and they can't take away my birthday. Right? That's my big saying, is that how bad can you get? They can't really take away your birthday, so at least you got that still. And so we have this trust. And so maybe our seeking His will is knowing what the right thing is to do in the moment, or knowing the right way to react to a certain set of circumstances. Whatever it is, we trust the Lord and we seek His will, we can trust that it's all going to be good. It is all going to be good. And now we have to know that good does not always equal favorable, right? Say it's all good does not mean it's all easy. To say it's all good doesn't mean that it's all how I want it to be, right? You've experienced that before in your own life, I'm sure. But we can trust it's all going to be good. Sometimes we're tricked into believing that this verse says, seek His will in all you do, and He will give you whatever you want, right? That's the New Davidian translation. But that's completely untrue for so many reasons. But here are some of the important ones. First of all, what I want is not always best. Would you believe that? You're like, yes, David, I know that what you want is best. But maybe you're thinking, what I want is probably always best. I know myself. I know what I really like. And I think, I've analyzed the situation, I think this would be best. But you know what? The truth is, we don't always know what's best. Think about the things you wanted so bad 10 years ago. Some of those things, if you got them, you'd be like, oh, I'd be in a lot of trouble now, right? Maybe it was a person you wanted to be with. Maybe it was a job you wanted. Maybe it was a home you wanted to move to. Maybe it was a business you wanted to join up with that doesn't even exist anymore, right? So many things. We don't know what the future holds. And so we may not know what's best. What I want is not always best. The second thing, that the second reason that the whole idea that seeking God's will is getting what we want is a bad idea is because when we struggle, it's when we learn. We don't learn things very well by having no resistance. If we're successful in everything, it's awfully hard to learn how to navigate when things go bad, because they do. We learn best when we struggle. And think about some of the best writers you've ever read, or some of the best movie makers you've watched movies of, or some best songwriters you ever heard. Some of them are those who have struggled the most. And I'll tell you, those who write the worst material, the worst art, the worst music, are those who have not struggled at all. Right? We have to struggle to learn. And so why in the world would God remove any kind of struggle from us, knowing that that's going to produce the most in us? And we've heard it in James, first chapter of James. Brian reminds me regularly. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Because, you know, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. Basically, if you want to be good, you got to suffer. That's just part of it. That's part of the deal. Because we learn as we suffer. And so the result we see from seeking God's will in all we do is wisdom on the path. When it says, he'll show you which path to take, there are times where you're at a place where it's a fork in the road. You can go left or you can go right. You can go straight or left, or you can turn around and go back, whatever you want to do. And what it means to seek the Lord's will in all you do, and he'll show you the right path to go, I believe it means you'll have wisdom on the path. You'll have wisdom to know which one to take, and also which way to walk as you go. We'll have wisdom on the path. It's showing us which road to take. It's also walking down straight paths. Paths that are not free of pain or challenge, but they are the right path. Sometimes the right path will go into battle. See, I wish I was smoother and I didn't have to be like, oh, it looks better. Just grab the microphone and no one would know. Man, I was on a roll too. I apologize. So sometimes the right path, it might be the scarier one, right? It might be the more difficult one. But like I said, that's how we learn. That's how we grow. That's what shapes us. Think about the things that have made you who you are today. Has it been the really easy stuff? All the ways that people have set you up and you haven't had to suffer? No, I'll bet you would point to three or four things in your life that were the hardest moments in your life that you made it through, and you went, that's why I am who I am today, and I would not change a thing, right? And so with the beauty of that, one of the things I love about that is that that shows me that God is still in it. God is still with us. And when I'm suffering and struggling by my own doing or by other people's doing, it doesn't matter. As I struggle through that and I realize that that has shaped who I've become and that's brought me to the place I'm in today, I can trust it. The reason I made it through, the reason it became good, is because there was a good God behind it with me. I was not alone when I went through that. When that job ended, when that marriage failed, when that sickness came, when that opportunity just disappeared, God was with me in that. And all of a sudden, you're set up in a new path, you're a new person because God never left you. That is power. That's wisdom that comes with that, right? And I don't know about you, but I would much rather be on the right path than on the easier path. Maybe not at the outset. Maybe I'd say, no, I think I'll take an easy path today. But what I ultimately want, and I believe what you ultimately want, is to be on the right path, even if it's hard, even if it's lonely, even if it's painful. So if we kind of circle back around and consider the source of wisdom, knowing that my relationship, who I am in relationship to who God is, we have to admit that we don't know everything. And there's so much about our life that's completely out of our control. Like, we might be tricked into thinking we've got all our control. We don't. Let's just admit it. We'll have to save a lot of heartache that way. But with those things in mind, with the fact that I am very little in light of how big God is, and I don't have things in control, there are three things that I want us to think about, three jobs that we have in light of that maybe can help us stay trusting the Lord with all our heart and not leaning on our own understandings, and in all of our ways acknowledging Him and Him leading us down the right path. First thing, we have to fear the Lord. Understanding who God is and who we are in relationship to Him. That has to be the starting point. We can't go through these other parts thinking that we're bigger and better and more important than God, or that God isn't even in the picture. We can't do it. It doesn't work. So the beginning is to be fear of the Lord. Second, we have to trust in the Lord. We have to actively put our trust in Him and not rely on our own wisdom, because we don't have all the information. We're still lacking some pieces, some very key pieces to what's going on. So we have to trust in Him. Trust that even if it's a scary road, then that's probably the right one for us to go down, because He's leading us that way. And third, we need to seek His will. We need to view all of our decisions and circumstances through the filter of God's will and discerning what would honor Him the most, and saying, Lord, what, with this thing that I'm facing, these options I have right in front of me, what is the thing that would honor You the most? And when we do that, we need to really mean it. We need to mean it that we want to know an answer to that. Because sometimes we can say, Lord, show me what the right thing is to do, and oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, pick the right one. And then we would kind of push our way through whatever we wanted to do anyway, right? But if we trust that He's greater than me, and that He knows what's best, and I can trust in Him, then when I seek after Him and say, Lord, what would honor You most, I can trust that even if it's a hard road that He's leading me to, it's going to be good. Not easy, but good. The promise is that God will show us the path to take when we seek His will. He'll show us the path to take. I don't know how that works, but I know that I've experienced it in my own life, and I know that you probably experienced it in yours as well. And so there's not like some magical way I can say, you know, there's this magical prayer you pray, or you close one eye and stand on one foot, and you say these magic words, and all of a sudden God shows you the magic path. I don't think that exists at all. If it does, let me know. But I know that there is this confidence that comes when we seek the Lord and He leads us down the path. We can trust that He's with us. He'll lead us through every turn. We can trust that it's going to be okay. Because God loves us way too much to abandon us when things get hard. And I'm incredibly grateful for that. And I hope that you are too. So that's my thoughts for the morning. And we're going to go into our quiet time now, and I hope that this is something that maybe you can sit on for a bit, something that's practical that you can remember easily and put into practice in your own life. Considering the fear of the Lord, trusting in Him, and seeking His will, those things are gonna lead you well in life and get us closer to who God created us to be. So let me pray for us, and we'll go into our quiet time. Lord, I thank You so much for this moment. And for this time to share these things. And I thank You that You lead us down the right path. Pray that we would be people that seek after You, that begin with a fear of You in understanding who we are in relationship to You, knowing that we are not greater than You by any means. We're not even close. Lord, You are great. And we worship You because of that, Lord. And I pray that You would just show Your faithfulness to us, show Your love to us, remind us that You're there. And Lord, we want to honor You in our lives. And so would You help us to trust in You? Would You help us to seek after You? And as You lead us down the right path, and as we follow, Lord, we'll give You all the glory. And so I thank You for my friends here today. I ask You to bless them and keep Your hand on them. And continue to remind them that You are always close to them. We love You and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you feel led to share, please stand and bring the mic.